Loom and stuff to really intentionally disciple our kiddos. That's awesome. Love it. Thankful for all those back there doing that every Sunday, investing in our kids. So, welcome. You know, that's what we discussed last week was Easter. And Easter is really what we sung about this morning. It's this idea that that God ultimately gets the victory. We talked about that. There's a lot of things that Easter could tell us, but we talked about this week, last week, that or week before last, before Youth Sunday, that God ultimately gets the victory. That it's not a question of if God. Sorry, Jason. Like, let's get right here. It's not a question of if God will get the victory. It's a question of when, right? For us. Now, God already has the victory, and because He doesn't exist in time, He knows that He will be victorious, and He'll lead us to victory in His glory and for His fame. And so, it's just a matter of when. And Easter is a demonstration of that, right? Because Jesus is sitting there in the garden, as we just celebrated with communion, and they come to get Him, and we get a little prelude to the fact that the victory has already been won. Because what happens? Jesus sort of stands up and says something to the guards, and they all hit the ground, right? The same ones who second right after that arrest Him. It's just a prelude to remind us that even though Jesus allowed them to arrest Him, He already had the victory. Because He spoke a word, and they all hit the dirt, right? And then He allowed them to arrest Him. And it was a prelude to what was going to happen when He came back up from the grave and arise in the sky, right, after appearing to His disciples, right? It wasn't a matter of whether God was going to get the victory or not. It's He has the victory, and it's just a matter of us discovering when in our time, right? And so you can say that's true for your life and for my life. And the in-between is what we call faith, the evidence of things unseen. Remember, we talked about that. And the week before that, we talked about small groups, right? And how the early church met in the temple courts and in house to house. So in house to house with smaller groups all throughout the city of Jerusalem and Corinth and Colossae and all these different places. And then also met in the temple courts, therefore in large groups. In Ephesus, the Hall of Tyrannus. But the idea is that they also met in a large gathering oftentimes. But it was those things working together that we saw God moving through them. And we talked about how those small groups were not just to study something that had happened on Sunday, but they really were practicing and doing church and saw them as fully church, even though it was in their homes or in the marketplace or someplace where they could gather in more small ways. And we walked through every book in the New Testament, many of them, to see examples of this, not only in Jerusalem, but all throughout the Mediterranean, even all the way to Rome, with how the church met and practiced doing church, being the ecclesia, the called out ones. Remember, church, we've talked about, is not a building. It's a group of people, right? We are the church. This is a building, right? And we, the church, meet in a building. And so the Holy of Holies walks around in us. God Himself fills us, and we are the Holy of Holies walking around as His temple, both here or out there. And those are the things we've been studying. So to continue that, I want to focus this morning on how do we build healthy communities? How do we build healthy communities? And I'll explain how that ties into small groups as well. But I think of the river in Bastrop, right? It is a symbol throughout our community. It's something that we all hold in common, that in HEB, as was mentioned. You know, you can go there, right? And you see each other. I mean, you just wait for 30 minutes, you'll see half the church. Or Starbucks, you'll see Mark, you know? And or many other people. But the point is that there are certain places in our community you do cross, and we all know about common experiences. The river is one of them. And if that river, and I know from talking to Richard, he's a student of our river. I wish he was here this morning because he's visiting another church with someone that he cares about a lot. But he's taught me a lot about the river. He's a student of the river. And as the river in Bastrop, if it ever gets sort of dammed up, it has a hard time flowing. If you've ever been a part of a creek or something that gets dammed up, it gets kind of pond scum. It gets kind of in a bad place, and it's not good. But if it continues to flow, then life always comes, right? And if there's other things that get into that river, as we've seen here in Bastrop, and they pollute it, then it can kill things in the river, and life goes down again. So either stagnation or pollution or other impediments can block that river from being all that it was intended to be, right? And so the question in community, as we think about it, how do we build healthy communities? What are barriers to building healthy communities? And what are catalysts to building healthy communities. A catalyst is that which speeds up a reaction, right? In chemistry, you have two or three or four, whatever, reactants, and sometimes those things won't react if you just pour them together. But if you add a little bit of something else, all of a sudden that reaction just speeds up and boom, occurs really fast. That's called a catalyst, that little extra thing you pour in that doesn't change the actual reaction, but what it does is it speeds it up. And so what are catalysts to building healthy communities and what are barriers? That's what we're going to talk about today. And how do we remove those dams out of the river and how do we move the pollution out of the river so that we have a flood of healthy community in how we practice as a church and beyond? You know, I talked about the small groups and following Jesus isn't just about you and Jesus or me and Jesus on an individual level. It is also about following him as a community. And we meet as a community on Sundays in a large group. And we meet throughout the week, and we're going to continue to meet more and more as small groups to gather and to experience him. And in those small groups, those are really significant opportunities to build a healthy community. We've heard of that in some of these praises that were mentioned this morning. Why? Because when we're in small groups, we have more opportunity to have, if you will, more surface area, to go back to that catalyst idea, more places where we can interact with each other in the nitty-gritty and daily things of our life, right? And we can begin to practice what it means to be in community. And we deal with all the difficulties of being in community. And the more we get to know one another, the more we go through those ups and downs and all the things we do. And those things happen best in sort of a small group, intimate environment, in the places where we live, work, and play. That's where we're most real. And so that's why it's important to then say, how do we live out in these small groups and in large groups, everywhere we go, healthy community? We're going to continue that this morning. So a couple frameworks or just overarching thoughts as we really quickly hit barriers to community and catalysts for community this morning and how we can overcome them. The first is just a framework is that Jesus is the basis for healthy community, right? If you even look at the main passage we were talking about today, Hebrews 10, that was read this morning. Before that, you see in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. If you go just a little bit above it, it says, verses 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And if you go a verse before that, it says, let's draw near with sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from all an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And it continues to allude even further in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place through the blood of Jesus, because Jesus' blood cleanses us, his death, his resurrection cleanses us from sin, and we can walk into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, with confidence, the Bible says, because of who he is. So he's the foundation of healthy community, right? Without that, there's no amount of the other things I'm going to say works. He, without him, we have cannot have a truly healthy community. He is the foundation. The cleansing power of him is what gives us the ability as a church to have healthy community. Without his cleansing power, all the different steps and all those other things won't matter. So we're rooted in the forgiveness of Jesus, right? We're rooted in his blood, his kingship, the fact that his victory has already been proclaimed, right? We sing those songs, by the way, because our words and what we proclaim matter. Our words matter. And why do we worship? It's a form of saying out loud, Jesus, you're king. Amen. Jesus, you're in charge. God, you've got the victory, right? And likewise, the opposite of praise is we sort of speak curses, by the way, over ourselves. This won't happen. That can't happen. You won't, God. But praise is proclaiming the truth of God as we move forward. And so as we look at that, Jesus is the basis for a healthy community. The other framework is that whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, I want to talk about that this morning. My wife is an introvert. I am an extrovert, you probably guessed. Right? That means not that one, and sometimes we get this idea that introversion might be bad in some way and extroversion's better or vice versa. No, they're just two different personality types that God has given us. And some of us are one and some of us the other. Really, ultimately, it just means, where do you get your energy from? Do you get your energy from interacting with people and so that gives you energy? Or do you get your energy sometimes by going off, retreating, maybe reading a book, and then you can re-engage? But either way, God calls us to interact with people. It's just a matter of kind of how we go about interacting with people. Some of us need to kind of pull back, recharge, and then enter into relationships with people. Others of us are fueled by those relationships. But whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, God still calls us to be with each other, right? And he just has us approach each other in different ways based on how he made us. So if you're sitting there going, man, I'm introverted, somehow that's a bad thing, I want you to know that is not a bad thing, that you are equally called to community and you have a role that I don't have in community because you are introverted. You can bring something to your small group as you participate in one or in this large group that I cannot bring. And so it's important to know that whether your personality type is introverted or extroverted, you are still called to healthy community. And you're still a part of that, and we don't lift either one up over the other. And then lastly, just as we think of a framework, as I get into those barriers and catalysts, there's levels of application to this, and everything we think about. There's the individual level, there's the church level, there's the family level, and the world level. And, you know, actually, I kind of got that backwards, individual, family, church, and world. So how we build these things and look at these barriers and catalysts, think of them, how does this work for me individually? How does this work in my family? Maybe my extended family, if I'm a teenager, or people around me, or if you're a parent, your kids, or your husband, or your spouse, your wife. In the church, how does it look as us on a Sunday? How does it look throughout the week in small groups, or at HEB, or whatever else? And in the world, how does it look for Bastrop? How does it look for Smithville? How does it look for the county? And how does it look for our overall community and how we invest and build healthy community? Well, let's look at that real fast. So first, I'm just going to give you basically five simple barriers and catalysts that help build community and the barrier to preventing it. They're going to be related, each one. So let's look at the first one. The first one is, how do we relate to God's word? How we relate to God's word is very important in whether it's a barrier or a catalyst to community. The barrier is when we walk away from God's word. When we try to seek community or coming together, but God's word is in our standard. It is in our mind. We're not meditating on who he is and what he has said about who he is and what he is currently speaking. Remember, God's word isn't just the Bible, although that is a huge part of it. We need to be reading the Bible, but it is also God's spoken word and interacting with him daily. So God wants us to pursue reading and memorizing his written word and also listening to his spoken word in our daily life. And if we are doing that, then we can have a catalyst to community. If we're avoiding that and we're not taking time to read, we're not taking time to memorize, we're not taking time to try to just wait on him to hear from him, then we won't be able to have healthy community. So how we relate to God's word is so important because that, just like a foundation of who Jesus says he is, how do we know who God is? We know who he is because of what he says, right? And so if we need to be listening to what he says. We need to be reading what he has spoken to us through the centuries. And as we do that by reading our Bibles regularly, by hearing from his word and listening to him in the day-to-day, then we can move away from walking away from God's word to walking toward his word. So the catalyst is persistent pursuit of hearing God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. It reminds us just what we already know, right? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit in those deep parts and the joints and narrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The things we don't even see, it can get in between, it can expose. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, God's, but whom all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him whom we have to do. And so the point being is that how we relate to God's word can either be a barrier for walking away from it or can be a catalyst. So if we want to have healthy community, we need to read God's word more regularly in our lives, all of us, right? We can't just be looking at the person across the aisle or maybe on the other church, or if we're thinking about it on a community level, or maybe that person in the secular world that doesn't even read God's word ever, right? We can't look at them and blame them for bad community, for lack of healthy community, because it starts with us, right? We need to read God's word. And as we read God's word and we're absorbed in what his truth says, then we will act out more and more what his truth says. But if we don't have that common standard to link us together, then maybe one of us thinks God's truth is over here, another of us thinks God's truth is over here, and we're in conflict with one another because we don't even know what the truth says, right? So it's important in community, first off, that we are relating to God's word daily, regularly. And if you think, well, if I don't read God's word, or if I don't wait and listen to him or try to understand, it's not going to affect everyone else. Yes, it will, right? Because we're all together. It'll affect our church. It'll affect your small group. It'll affect your family. It'll affect you, and it will affect our community. Amen. Because God wants you to hear his word, and he has things for you to enact in our community in all those levels because we hear him and we listen to him and we read his word. Another catalyst and barrier, so the second barrier I want to talk about is how we deal with our sin, how we deal with just sin in general. The barrier is our sin, right? It's the fact that we do sin. That is a barrier to healthy community. That's why God doesn't like it. He's not a killjoy where he's just sort of automatically said, these things you shouldn't do, these things you should do, and if you say to him why, he's just, I just kind of threw the dice. No, he created the earth. He knows how it operates. So sin is doing that which he tells you not to. Why is it sin? Because it isn't how he made us to operate. Which means the reason God doesn't want us to sin is because it's destructive, not just because it's a rule. You understand? He's a loving father. He doesn't want you to sin because he knows that isn't how he made you. And if you sin, it will be destructive to you and others. So conversely, or actually similarly, when we sin, it goes against healthy community, doesn't it? It breaks community. My sin, your sin, our sin breaks healthy community. So how we relate to sin, if we kind of excuse our sin, if we don't pursue holiness in all we do, if that isn't a key element of us as a community here or as a community as a whole, Bastrop, or in our families or individually, if that isn't core to us, then it will cause breaking an unhealthy community. If we repent of our sin regularly, if we align ourselves with God's word and then repent when we're not in alignment with it and constantly pursue holiness, then we have better community on a family level, on a broad, wide level. We're walking down the row of HEB. We're not like, you know, tripping somebody who we don't like, right? We are greeting even those that maybe even have come against us. As we walk past them in HEB, you can see how even our sin at a community level, we can grow healthy by pursuing holiness. What we think about, right? And our mindset, the parts that people don't even see when we're thinking about things that dishonor the Lord, if we embellish those in our mind rather than just saying, Lord, I turn from that and I'm going to turn my mind to this and I won't be tempted by that. I'm going to continue to turn my mind to this. If we do that in the private places, then in the public space of small groups and church as a whole and in our community, then we will be in better place to have healthy community. What comes out of our mouth, the Bible says, comes from our heart. What's in our heart often is the meditations of our mind. So if we sin, we start there, then it comes out ultimately into our community. Do you understand what I'm saying? So our sin can be a barrier, but what is a catalyst? Holiness, right? The catalyst is Hebrews chapter 12. Staying in the book of Hebrews this morning for a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 15. If you look at this right here, Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 16 says this. Pursue peace with all men and women, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So pursue peace and sanctification. Sanctification is the word the Bible uses for holiness and purity and walking in less and less sin as we get deeper and deeper into Christ. Verse 15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there's no immoral or godless person like Esau who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Now, we're going to return to this in the next point, but just looking at it, one of the things it's calling us to is holiness, is sanctification, so that we can walk together as we pursue holiness. And so that is the opposite of our sin. And one of our sins that we commit often that's one of the most egregious for community, I'm looking at time, I'm going to probably go over by about 5 minutes. I'm trying, flying through this. Is pride, right? Mine, yours, we have pride. When we begin to believe that we are better than someone else, that is a massive barrier to community, right? And we're going to get to this in the second, the fourth and fifth point, but we must approach the Lord with humility, recognizing that anything that's good about us came from him. And when we do that, we relate differently to each other. We relate differently to even the most sinful person in our community as a whole, right? Even those who oppose us, even those who might even use the government against us, we relate differently to them because we recognize that whatever we know came from him. We don't operate out of pride in how we relate to others. So that's how our sin, even with pride or even private impurity, can get in the way, but holiness is the opposite. How we deal with conflict is the other way in which we either have a catalyst or a barrier. Personal offense and unresolved conflict are a barrier to healthy community. When we hold on to something because someone else hurt us rather than forgiving it, that is a barrier to our relationship with them, isn't it?
In a small group environment, you feel it even more, don't you? Because that person is sitting across the living room for you, or they're sitting across the workplace next to you, or whatever it is where you have a small group. That's why we are increasingly pursuing those, because it sharpens us, because we have to deal with personal conflict. So there's a point that we have to not take personal offense or release personal offense and actively go to resolve conflict, not just wait till it somehow resolves in the ether, right? We actively, the Bible says, go out, leave your gift at the altar, and go after talking to, right, the person who maybe is offended, or you have offended, or they have offended you. Now, we can't control what the other person ever does, but we can always control what we do, right? Right? We can never control whether they will respond to us, but we can always control, are we approaching them? And are we trusting the Lord to resolve it, even as far as it depends on us, the scripture says, right? God will never call you to be accountable for what someone else does. He will be calling you to be accountable for what you do in response to even conflict they may bring. You understand? So personal conflict and unresolved conflict and personal offense, you may not be able to resolve the conflict itself, but you can resolve how you approach it. You understand? I can't control whether someone's angry at me, but I can control how I respond to them when they're angry at me, right? And that's what God holds us to. So I wish we could do a whole sermon on either one of these, but I'm just kind of cruising through it. So the barrier is personal offense and unresolved conflict. The solution is forgiveness and pursuit of resolution. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17 says what? Going back to that same passage, pursue what? Peace with all men. And the sanctification, that's the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We want to see the Lord as a community. Pursue peace. Pursue it. Pursue it. Not just wait for it. Pursue it with all men. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, because then many are defiled. The root of bitterness is when we hold on to offense. That's a root of bitterness. I don't release it through forgiveness. I hold on to it against you, right? That's the opposite of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not telling somebody that what they did wasn't wrong. Forgiveness is simply not holding on to it, right? Not holding it against them. Recognizing maybe it was extremely painful. Maybe it was extremely wrong. It wasn't right, but I'm not going to hold that against them because I'm not their judge, right? And Jesus is the foundation. We talked about that at the very beginning. And so I'm going to release that, not because it wasn't wrong, but because I have no right to hold on to an offense. Because Jesus did not hold on to an offense that I caused him. You understand? Back to that foundation. Back to what does the Word of God say? You see, we're building on these things as we go through how to build a healthy community. And that's why we can do that. So fourthly, how do we communicate about others is the other barrier or catalyst. So we've dealt with how we relate to God's Word, how we deal with sin, how we deal with conflict. Fourthly, how we communicate about others is important. It can either be a barrier or a catalyst. The barrier is when we gossip and tear each other down, right? Either here in the church or in a small group, or in our family, or at HEB, right? Dairy Queen, right? At our workplace, right? Wherever it may be, are we gossiping and tearing down others, or are we building them up? See, a barrier to a healthy community is gossiping and tearing someone down. Now, speaking positively about someone, hey, I'm so glad it's their birthday, and maybe they're not present, or oh God, I'm so glad that so-and-so just got a promotion. That's not gossip. The reason why gossip and tearing people down is wrong is because it's when we go in a negative direction. So when we talk about someone with intent not to build them up, but to tear them down, right? And when I do that, when you do that, we are being a barrier to healthy community. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, take a quick look at that. This was read to us by my daughter this morning. I am flipping back there really rapidly. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. This is a favorite verse of mine. It's a tough one, really tough one. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. You know, don't think more of yourself, but think of others. Don't do it. With humility of mind, that means knowing where anything good in you comes from. That's from God, not from you, right? There's good in you. Don't diminish you because God made you special. He has a plan for you. Don't say I'm bad. No. God is saying you are great, but everything you have came from me. So approach others, even when they fail, knowing that whatever you have came from me, you didn't do it anyway, right? So we can walk in humility towards one another. Make my joy complete, it says. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That phrase right there always gets me. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have the attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That speaks for itself, doesn't it? So consider the catalyst here. The barrier is gossip and tearing one another down with our words, our writings, or our actions. But really, the catalyst is considering others better than ourselves and encouragement. Encouragement's the opposite of gossip, isn't it? Speaking positively about someone else, either to them or to someone else about them. It's the opposite of this. It's building that which God, you see God doing in them, and speaking that to others or to them. That's encouragement. That's the catalyst for greater healthy community. Looking for God's good in others rather than looking for whatever is bad in them. Do you understand? That's true for me, true for y'all. If we move in these directions that I'm talking about on this continuum, we'll have healthy community more and more and more. And it's a continuum, right? You don't arrive, hey, we're there. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We check that box, right? At least that's not my life. Might be yours, but I tell you it's not mine, man. I'm kind of constantly learning, right? And so what God has for us as a community, we go, oh, man, I need to work on that. Lord, help me. God, show me. And we move forward. Or, wow, I've already got that. I can celebrate, and I'm doing that well. And so that's where we are today, is how do we move more and more down this continuum to healthy community on each of these towards the catalyst rather than the barrier? And lastly, the last barrier versus catalyst is how we invest in other people, right? This is the discipleship idea. This is the what we do with other people. The barrier would be apathy and selfishness. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, real briefly, real fast, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, blah, blah, blah. 2 Corinthians, here we go. I'm getting there. Verses 10. Here we go. 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds, some translations say. In verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So it tells you what a stronghold is there. A stronghold... This when we talk about apathy and selfishness, a stronghold is a lofty thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, a thought or a pretension that in some way is in conflict with God's knowledge. So God says, I can do all things. Your brain says, or your flesh says, maybe not everything. Most things, but not everything. That's a stronghold. When we accept less than what God says about himself. God says, I love all people. And we think, most people, but not that one, right? And you surely weren't talking about this situation, right? That's a stronghold. When we accept less than what God wants. And it seems okay because it seems rational. It seems excusable. But God is not a God of rational and excusable. He says, this is the way it is. Line yourself up with me. I don't need to line myself up with you. That's what God is saying. To all of us, to me included. And so a stronghold we should let go of. And the Bible tells us that he gives us the power to demolish strongholds, which is to say, Lord, I don't even understand how maybe you can love that person. Or I don't even understand how you can do that thing that I don't even know how you can. I don't see it in any way, shape, or form. But I trust you that you can do all things. I trust you that you love all people. I trust you that you call me to forgive in every circumstance, right? These things that God tells us, then we're saying to him, Lord, he gives us that power to demolish strongholds. And that is the opposite of apathy and selfishness. Apathy is where we accept something as less than what God wants. We basically kind of back off and, okay, I can't do anything about that, right? Can't, whatever it is in community, we're just let it go. Yeah, letting it go is okay when it's conflict, but let it go in terms of not aggressively pursuing healthy community is apathy. Do you see the difference? Right, I'm not saying hold on to some pain, but what I'm saying is, pursuit of community requires strength and energy. It requires effort. It doesn't just happen. And that's the difference between apathy and pursuit. And the way we do that is we let go of these strongholds that put us into apathy. Selfishness, or when we just kind of focus on ourselves, we're all guilty of that. And what's the opposite of all this in terms of how we invest in people? I'll end with this, love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The opposite of apathy and selfishness and buying into strongholds and less than what God wants for how we invest in others and how we pour into other people's lives versus just thinking about our own, right? What is that? Well, verse 4 through 7, God defines what it looks like. He uses the word love to describe the whole category of these things, but he just sort of defines it for us. Love is patient. And by the way, I mean, we all see where we fail in these ways. We see where we succeed, but we see God's standard. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in righteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the idea of what God calls us to, his standard of how we invest in others, right? And I would bear to say we all fail, myself included. Heck, I failed this weekend. I was not perfectly loving, right? And so God calls us to that standard of letting go of any stronghold that would dismiss what we just read and say, I'm going to invest in other people. I'm going to trust that God will bless and provide for me as I invest in others. And as we move in that continuum, then that barrier falls away and we move more towards the catalyst of how we invest in other people. So remember, think about these frameworks, or think about these continuums rather. How we relate to God's word, how we deal with our sin, how we deal with conflict, how we communicate with others, and how we invest in people. Each of these things are vital in having healthy community. Not just as a person and being a good person in a community, but also in your family, these things apply. If you're a teenager relating to your parents, if you're a single person who's outside the house and you're relating to other friends, if your spouse is relating to each other, how this happens in your family and pursuing those five areas, whether you want to be a barrier or a catalyst and pursuing healthy community, this is how we can do it. These are big practical ways. In our church, what we do on Sundays, what we do throughout the week as we pursue small groups and are able to rub elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder in living rooms and in school places and in marketplaces, that's all there. And lastly, how we relate to and build a healthy community in Bastrop, even with those who don't know the Lord. All over our community is often around these same five issues. It's very, very important for us to pursue healthy community. So as we pursue small groups, we're not just trying to increase, and our church has always valued that. We've always done this, but we're doing that more. And as we pursue more and more of that and being in each other's lives throughout the week, these are the ways not just to be there, but to be there with health, right? That's our goal. It isn't just to accomplish a strategy or some sort of tactic. It is to do that so that we have more surface area with each other in small environments to practice these areas, right? To really get where the nitty-gritty is in our relationships. So, Father, thank you. Lord, help us build a river of life through Bastrop. We already have a natural river, Father. We ask you every time we see that river that you'd remind us of healthy community. Lord, help us to remove all dams of sin or conflict or apathy or any of those things in our life. And help us to move down a continuum of being a catalyst to speed up reactions for a healthy community, Father God. Lord, no matter what others do, we have your self-control in us. So God, help us to respond by the power of your Holy Spirit to build healthy community at all these levels. We need your help. We depend on you. We don't stand on our own. We depend on your grace here at Grace Bible Fellowship. We stand by your grace and your forgiveness. We depend on your empowerment. And we ask you for your conviction that we would walk with strength and courage to pursue healthy community at all these levels, in our church, in our families, and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.